The Halloween season abounds with witches and goblins and ghosts. While many children and adults put on costumes and pretend to be witches, a new book reminds readers that there are still people living in a world haunted by witchcraft. In Spellbound, Inside West Africa's Witch Camps, Karen Palmer chronicles her attempt to explore the destiny of women accused of committing supernatural crimes and explain why people there rely on witchcraft and fear it. More than 3,000 accused witches, mostly women, live in Ghana's 6 witch camps in unenviable conditions. They are not prisoners exactly, but they can't leave. Journalist Karen Palmer first learned about these witches in exile from a 2004 human rights report. 3 years ago, curiosity prompted her to investigate one of the camps in northern Ghana.
We went up to this witch camp, which is about an 18 to 20-hour drive from the capital of Accra. Was really quite surprised. I mean, I had all these sort of visions in my head of, you know, the Macbeth kind of witches and the Disney kind of witches. And in fact, what we found was a very small and remote village made mostly of mud huts and a collection of about 200 women who were left to live there on their own.
For the next 2 years, Palmer interviewed dozens of the women to learn how they ended up there.
A lot of the women just said, I don't know why I'm here. One of the women I spoke to when I was there, she was probably in her 80s, and she had kind of lost track of how long she had been there, but perhaps for 40 years. And what had happened to her was that one morning her nephew had woken up and basically said he'd seen her in his dream and that she had been trying to strangle him. And it was enough for her brother to accuse her of witchcraft. And typically, something happens, and it can be almost anything from a dream to a bad harvest to a car accident to an illness in a child or somewhere in the family. And, you know, the evidence just sort of piles up. People sort of start seeing, you know, links between, you know, the arrival of someone and the arrival of these bad actions or these bad events.
In many cases, a diviner or a camp chief decides whether or not someone is guilty of practicing witchcraft.
Both the accuser and the woman who was being accused would come before him, each of them holding a chicken. And the accuser would make her accusation that she felt this woman was, you know, trying to attack her, and they would slit the throat of the chicken and kind of throw it up in the air, and depending on how it landed, that either confirmed the accuser's story or denied it. And then they would do the same thing with the woman who was defending herself. She would basically say, if I am not guilty, let my chicken die with its beak in the sky. If I am guilty, you know, let it die with its beak in the ground. And that would sort of decide it.
In Spellbound, Palmer describes the conditions inside the witch camp and how the women there are exploited. She says it looks like a dumping ground for difficult women who live in poverty under the watchful eye of the local chief.
He's called the Gambarana. He was seen as this very powerful wizard, and, you know, he could sort of decide whether a woman was a witch or not. You know, the longer I stayed there, the more I realized that he very rarely ever finds that a woman is innocent. And in fact, he charges them to stay in his village, and he kind of looks out for them, so if they need anything, they can go to him. He uses them almost like a labor force. He can rent them out, so to speak, to plant and to weed and to harvest, and that's sort of how they pay their rent to him. And when their family comes to retrieve them, to actually take them home, he charges the family, and the rates vary depending on how much the family could pay.
While the majority of the accused witches Palmer interviewed said they were innocent, some admitted practicing black magic to hurt or protect others.
I interviewed a woman who basically said, yes, I did exactly what they accused me of. I was trying to kill that girl. And then after I interviewed her, I met a woman who basically said she was desperate to get rid of her witchcraft. And then I met a woman who told me that, in fact, she was really afraid for her children and her own family. Her husband had a drinking problem, and she felt he had been bewitched. So she went out and collected up a sheep and some cloth and some money, and she went to a witch doctor and bought witchcraft.
Palmer notes that although people in West Africa fear witches and severely punish women who they believe practice witchcraft, superstitions remain among the prime movers of daily life, especially in rural areas. In the book, she tells about Simon, a social worker, and his wife, who wanted to have another child. They decided to invite a witch doctor to perform a ceremony to clear whatever blockage was preventing them from conceiving.
This man arrived with what he called his spiritual AK-47. you know, it was a gun that he used to capture witches, and, you know, it looked kind of like a goose. It was all covered in feathers and ringed with red, and, you know, had a silver plug at the end. And he came in, and they slaughtered about 6 chickens, and depending on how they landed was depending on whether the ancestors could support getting rid of this spiritual block. And there was a lot of mention of God, actually, in the ceremony. And at the end of it all, they slaughtered one final chick, and they poured blood on a sheep. And Evelyn, who was Simon's wife, was told to drink this particular concoction for 3 months, and then she would have a baby girl. And after the ceremony was all over, they went to church.
Simon's wife did not get pregnant. She got sick instead. But such incidents, Palmer says, don't sway other villagers from a deep belief in witchcraft. She found it gives them comfort in times of distress, a way of explaining a crippling drought or the loss of a child.
I initially went into this project thinking what would really help here is if people could see witchcraft less in their life. So if they had fewer reasons to believe someone was out to hurt them, fewer illnesses, better access to medicines, better understanding of, you know, why dirty water can't be drank, or, you know, access to certain medical services that would help them sort of live easier lives.
Spellbound author Karen Palmer says services to improve life in these villages can help erase people's deep belief in and fear of witchcraft. When that happens, she says, there will be no need to accuse innocent women and send them away to a witch camp. For writer Faiza El Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News, Washington.